the fundamental difference. It must never be forgotten that the fundamental difference between Pearl Harbor and the World Trade Center Pentagon attacks was that Roosevelt, a liberal, 32nd American president, arranged Pearl Harbor with far-away decoy soldiers definitively in an effort to defeat the Nazis and to defeat the forces of horror and reaction and racism and lies and death here at home and worldwide. In a nation that knew nothing but attachment judgment. Whereas Bush, the reactionary 43rd American president, arranged the World Trade Center Pentagon attacks against civilians in the heart of New York, definitively to promote the Nazis and to promote the forces of horror and reaction and racism and lies and death here at home and worldwide. In a nation that is straining at the bit to understand things cognitively. And of course, the anti-cognitive press, the attachment judgment, Nazi-dominated current academia and current press strains in every way it can to block Americans from making that absolute distinction. The Nazis of the current press will no doubt wish to use such a story to insist, see, the liberal did it too. Promoting Nazis, defeating Nazis, why, it's all the same. They both deceived to bring about a war, which, in the context, would be the typical claim of the criminally sociopathic. Let's just dissociate that one defeated the Nazis and the other is promoting them. The filthy Nazis, the vacant ones, will, of course, insist that there is no distinction there. Without logical types, copyright 2005, William Jefferson Clinton and Hillary Rodham Clinton, who could tell what's more important than what? An attachment judgment-based population might even fall for a Nazi-based scam now, might even be falling for it now, as they would have in 42 or 43, had Roosevelt not held the line and gone out on that limb. Then, as now, it's Democrats or it's Nazis, all one way or all the other. Every vote or non-vote in all elections. But remember, and this is a point never to be forgotten, Roosevelt and the Democrats had the entire Communist Party, the entire labor movement, and all progressive Americans absolutely behind them. Solid as a rock, and that was big indeed. Big, big, big. That's why he had the moxie to force an anti-Nazi deal. That's from where it came. Without that kind of backing, the deal offered, if any, would have been far worse. A little war over the Philippines, leaving Europe to rot, and he might not even have had the juice, perhaps, even to survive. A little more, broader, deeper, liberal and progressive backing, and he could have cooled down the war in the Pacific. An Eisenhower type of general, principled, instead of MacArthur. A smarter war. Far less casualties. No race war bullshit. Definitively excluding the possibility for Hiroshima. And Galen. And he might have been able to get Eisenhower into Europe a little sooner, before the Jews were completely destroyed, perhaps even arresting most of it in time. A little less backing from liberals and progressives, and there might well have been a Nazi takeover here, which millions of Americans wouldn't have even survived at all, had Roosevelt not had absolutely massive progressive backing. Or had he turned the deal down, well, a Republican Party swastika over the Rose Garden and the red carpet for Hitler. That's what I think might have happened. And it's been almost 60 years since a liberal Democratic Party had that kind of solid progressive backing. No wonder the Nazis are strutting so tough. And again, without that kind of solid progressive backing, had Roosevelt been too scared, and for darn good reason, or had the deal offered been smaller, or had he just sat and stewed, an attachment judgment-based population might well have fallen for a variation on the Reichstag caper in 42, 43, or 44. And it certainly would have fallen for a Nazi-based scam, as it is doing now, had the Nazis among the U.S. ruling class and among the media gotten their way. I would have to say, though, and I have thought about this more than once, what would I, Neil, have advised back there in the autumn of 1941? Actually, it's a pretty tough question for me. I mean, as a communist and a Jew, it seems clear. But as a theorist and one who knows the consequences of a racial war hoax on that scale, especially knowing what it cost him in the end, a right-wing dagger, threat of exposure, hanging over his head, it might have cost his confidence and even his life. Frankly, well, to tell you the truth, man, oh man, it's the hot seat in the big time. I don't know that I've ever really quite sorted it all out. I think of Poland, land of my grandmother, and I think of Goldflower, 19 at that moment and struggling mightily against the armored columns of the marauding Japanese army on the desperate plains of China. And sometimes I wonder if Churchill and the big spies would have had me too, in their back pocket. What would I say? Well, basically we'd have to figure if it was the Neil before I had logical types and the locket, before 1983 and 2000, or after I'd gotten logical types and the locket, after 1983 and 2000. I mean, at that time, in the autumn of 1941, I hadn't even been born yet. Not for another 3 years. And if anyone had come up with logical types by then, or anything like that, it no doubt would have been among the Jews of Poland, or thereabouts. At that moment, being burned and burned alive, house to house, by Einsatzgruppen. So there's two questions. A pre-1983 Neil, without logical types, or a post-2000 Neil, who has logical types, in the locket, all ready to go. Definitely two different contexts, two different sets of advice entirely. Before I had logical types, and certainly before I was certain I could explain it briefly, well, facing the massive attachment judgment molasses, and facing the onslaught of a withering right-wing press, attempting to just explain in that circumstance why we had to fight Hitler in alliance with the communists, well, it just seems exhausting to even think about. Maybe it could have been done, but I imagine myself getting creamed by exhaustion and manipulation. Sure. Winston, sure. Back in the framework of those days, and without logical types in any form, I probably would have said, let's go for it. But as far as for what happened to the Pacific peoples, and later, as a consequence of having to keep that hoax hidden, Galen, the CIA as we came to know it, and McCarthy, and the decades of long Latin American horror, not to mention Vietnam and all the rest. Well, yes, without logical types and a way to definitively alert the cognitive mind specifically of the American people, I probably would have supported the decision. Sure. But certainly, in the end, as the Pacific devastation became apparent, and as the years and decades passed, I would have hated the long-term consequences. I certainly would have eagerly joined the war against the Nazis, would have been massively relieved to have an absolutely solid, uniform public solidarity against the Nazis, overwhelmingly pleased that our nation was a big factor in defeating them, but I would have been scared to death how that big Pearl Harbor scam was going to come home to roost. And come home to roost it did indeed, with a vengeance. 1 million Pacific peoples annihilated, the last of this planet's intact matrifocal cultures, and at Hiroshima, and Galen, and more, not to mention Vietnam. Well, I'll leave it at that. All snapping back into everyone's daily life for decades to come, right down to this very day. Perhaps the wisest advice I could have given him, again, without logical types at my command, would have been to say, "Okay, sir, but we're going to have to find a way to get out from under this dagger, find a way to expose it ourselves, publicly, as just a war tactic, maybe. Try to work it out, publicly, somehow, and very soon." To which he might have said, "You know, my boy, if we tried to do that, they'd cream us with everything they had, which is plenty, and the worst might come to pass." To which I might have been able to say, "Gulp." As an aside, I might mention that if the Republican Party and media reaction to Mr. Clinton's decision in his August 98 deposition to straighten out a matter that was of exactly zero policy significance to the country, the state, and the people is taken into account, well, Mr. Roosevelt, if he had answered me as mentioned above, he would have been making the understatement of the century. But that's the Neil of years ago. What about the current Neil, the post-2000 Neil, with logical types and the locket in hand? Now that's another kettle of fish entirely. Can we metaphorically overlay my current circumstance with logical types in hand onto the 1941 circumstance? Well, if so, in that case, maybe, if I'd had the moxie, which of course means if I had the backing and the protection to get that close to him, which I don't now, but if I did then, I would have said to the Liberal Democratic Party president, "Franklin, give me 3 hours. We can beat this thing. Let me talk it out to you, to Eleanor. I can be reasoned with. We can smooth it out. It'll work for everyone. Cognition judgment, high intelligence for everyone, across the board. We can work it out. For the American people, for the Japanese people, for the Germans, the British, the Russians, the Chinese, everywhere. As even Churchill himself once said, not war, war, but jaw, jaw." Well, all that 60 years ago, it seems so far away. Although like so much of history for me, going all the way back to Joan and even Lucy, sometimes it also seems right now, kinda seeing double or something. Well, I didn't mean to go off about the Pearl Harbor circumstance too much. It's not the real point here. I got a little carried away with it. World War II has always been something of keen historical interest to me. I was born in 1944, in mid-November. The gas chambers at Auschwitz reached their all-time peak the very day I was born, packed with Hungarian Jews, land of my father's father. The whole thing gets a little rough sometimes. Since I was a child, I always wondered if I was that little boy in the famous photograph with his hands up in Warsaw, reincarnated in Brooklyn shortly thereafter. It always haunted me a little. I mean, as a metaphor, of course. Let's not get carried away. But anyway, somehow, ever since I was a small child, I had this sense that I was supposed to do something about it, that somehow or in some way I had more room than they did, and I was supposed to use it. Or something or other, like the boxcar door at Auschwitz swung open, and that little boy saw what lay ahead and demanded, inside, "Someone better deal with this." Not as a Jew, but because it was wrong. The wrongest thing there could ever be in the world, occurring to me again and again the whole time I was growing up. I don't even know why. I had the same sense in the wake of the 73 Chilean coup. That sense was heavily renewed. Like, I was the shadow on the wall in the Kissinger, Pinochet, Nixon torture chambers of Chile. The last thought out of the corner of her eye that the girl saw before succumbing. It gripped me so hard at the time, and it's never left me. I don't even know why. I was all alone, and I'd never even met anyone from South America, then and to this day. Maybe it's because I'm an American, and maybe just because it's because I'm Jewish.